Alrighty. Ha, 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 I brought in the wrong folder. Would you like to hear what we're doing in the board meeting? Hugh, would you mind asking Annette to open my office and go in my purse and get my pink folder out? That would be wonderful. Oh, no, it's here. Never mind. Here it is. Impossible is nothing. Okay. So what I'm talking about today is say yes to the consciousness, okay? Anybody seen that show, Say Yes to the Dress? Do you know that show? Oh, no, that's the other wrong one. You probably were in my office when I said I had the right one. Isn't this fun? Isn't church fun? I mean, oh, goodness, a church where you're allowed to be human. I like it. Okay, so anyway, my talk title is, to get all serious, Say Yes to the Consciousness, which is a takeoff on the TV show Say Yes to the Dress. How many have you seen Say Yes to the Dress? A show of pinkies or hands, please. Pinkies if you're embarrassed for having watched it. Somebody has two hands up back there. Okay. Yes, it's a show, I believe, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a show about wedding dresses, right? Bridal stuff, yeah. Yeah, I think we had a practitioner that was on it one time, and that's how I know about it. Also, recently I put on a practitioner's wedding dress because she brought it to the church and she wanted me to model it for her, and I married somebody in the flat choir up there. I don't think that the bride can actually do the wedding, just so you know. but yeah, I married Todd Waddington. Now, that's wrong on several different levels that I won't go into, but he's, for one thing, he's cardboard, so, you know, I don't know that the marriage would last. But anyway, I just thought it was a good thing to say yes to the consciousness. And, you know, that's part of one of the reasons I'm talking about this has more to do with a quote that I read when I was teaching the Five Gifts curriculum. It was an interview with Dr. Michael Beckwith, Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith, and he said about visioning, which is a process that we do where we try and discern what Spirit's vision is for anything that we want to do in our lives, and then we allow that vision to come through and inform us from the inside out. And what Dr. Beckwith said, he said, we know metaphysically that we cannot have anything that we are not willing to become. It's an impossibility for us to have something in our life that is not aligned with our consciousness. I don't know that that's 100% true, because I have had things barge into my consciousness that I had no idea was coming my way. I think that grace is bigger sometimes than what we can hold in our minds. But it does give me pause, because my normal MO, when I'm not getting something that I want, and perhaps some of you can relate to this, okay, let's pretend you want something and you're not getting it. What do you do first? Well, you judge it. You judge the fact that you're not getting it. Perhaps you judge yourself. Perhaps you worry about not getting it. Perhaps you complain about not getting it. Anybody? Show of pinkies again. We're going to have a lot of pinkies in this service. I love it. So that doesn't seem intuitive to say, wait, I don't have this thing, so maybe I could adjust my consciousness. Instead, we tend to want to worry, complain, judge ourselves for not having it, and then the other thing that we do is that we enlist a whole lot of support in that judging and complaining, right? Yes, amen and hallelujah. So we're going to look at alternatives today, because the process that I just described, the judging, the complaining, the worrying, the enlisting support, all of that is resistance. And resistance repels what we want. We have a race consciousness, human race consciousness idea about resistance, that if I resist this, it won't happen. I can stop it through my resistance. But that is the opposite of truth, folks. If we resist it, we repel what we want, and we cling to what we do not want. So this say yes to the consciousness is saying yes to the consciousness of what we wish to have in our lives, what we wish to experience in our lives, what we wish to be in our lives. And the truth is, if you've just sung, I am remembering who I am, or if you've ever sung, I am remembering who I am, we already have and we are what we want. We have everything we want because we are one with God. We just have to remember it. we have to say yes to the consciousness of oneness, and that helps us draw in the experiences that the experiences that we wish to experience in our lives. Okay. So I just talked a little bit ago about how this idea of shifting our consciousness may feel counterintuitive, and you know it feels kind of silly to say that up here because that's the whole basis of this teaching, right? Is that we change our thinkings and that we change our lives. We change our thinking and we change our lives. But when it happens to us, it doesn't always seem like the right thing to do. It might feel better to work with this out here, to change this in order to make ourselves happy. Or it may feel better to wait for something magnificent to happen before we can feel good. Anybody? Yeah, I've done it. I'm not pointing the finger. Well, I just literally pointed the finger, but I've done it. I do it myself all the time. I still do it. You know, there's this joke among some of the practitioners that somebody asked somebody like me that's been around for a while and someone else that's been around for a while, well, I didn't think the seasoned practitioners still struggled with that type of thing. Oh, we're all working all the time, you know, just on deeper and deeper levels. But I think that we, you know, there are examples of how we can transcend that desire to have it all together before we can get it, you know, to step out on faith, because really this is about stepping out on faith and saying yes to a consciousness that you may not think that you have already, but you do, right? You know, I think it's the Tao. I tried to find the quote, but I couldn't find it, but I think it's from the Tao where it says that we must step into sufficiency while it is still appearing as insufficiency. And that's what I'm talking about here. So I have an example that probably some of you have done. I've not done it, but some of you have done this. How many of you have children? All right. And how many of you, before you had a child, read the books several times, memorized the books, and then one day you woke up and said, oh, I'm ready to have a child. And from then on, it was smooth sailing all the way, right? Please, if you have done that, stand up so that we may worship at your feet. We'll put you up in that altar next to Gandhi and Jesus and Moses and all those people, you know? Because life rarely happens that way. It rarely happens that way. And perhaps some of us weren't ready to have children or a puppy. Let me not leave it, or any other animal, or some project that you wanted to do, but we just stepped out in faith anyway, and then the universe and the nature of existence took care of us one step at a time when we couldn't necessarily see the end point. Oddly, it's just coming to me now, it's remarkably like running a church during COVID. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're just taking it in faith one step at a time, you know? And it is that step in faith that actually qualifies us to do what we want to do. It is that shift in consciousness that qualifies us to have what we want. It is that step in faith that qualifies us to be who we truly are. You know, there's this saying that God does not call the qualified, she qualifies the called. And that's what I'm talking about there. But it's also important to look at where we are resisting that holy urge to step out because we want proof that it's going to work down the line. You know, if we're writing a book, if we want to be a singer or any type of other artist, if we've got a project, if we've got a plan, if we've got a new business that we want to start, if there's something great that we want to do, so often we're waiting for proof that it is going to be successful before we try it. You know, I know as somebody that writes, I mean, God bless this weekly deadline that I have, because I would never write a word if I didn't have to get up here and speak. But you know, there's always that thing of like, well, I'll write when I know I'm a good writer. What's wrong with that picture? Right? Right? You do what you're called to do, and the act of doing it qualifies you. It qualifies you to be a good writer. And that's part of, but the step that you take when you sit down to write or learn to sing or learn to play an instrument or work on some project or take one step towards the fulfillment of your dreams, that requires that leap of faith, and that requires saying yes to the possibility that this could be who you really are. This could be really happening for you already. You just don't know it right now. But Spirit knows. There's other examples when we do this, or how we do this, thing of pausing and waiting for the world to validate us before we take the step. Last week I touched on this, the idea of stillness and peace. How many of us are waiting for the world to change before we can have peace? Either on a global level, right? Or on a personal level. Last week I talked about when your to-do list is finally fun, then you can have peace and rest. And we know the truth about to-do lists in this church, don't we? They have a little stinking mind of their own. Don't tell mine I said that, okay? So we step into peace before the work is done. We step into peace. We say yes to peace. We have faith in peace before the world is peaceful. We become the change of peace that we wish to see in the world. Another one was love. How many of us may be looking for love, of a partner, a spouse, or looking for the love of a career or a job, and we're afraid that it's not out there, but when we'll get there, when we get there, we will know love. Again, in order to start making the steps towards love, we have to say yes to love first. And that means embodying love and acting as if the truth of love for us is true. Acting as if the truth that we are lovable is true, or acting as if the truth that we are loving is true. There is no difference between loving and lovable. They're both the same thing. It's like how giving and receiving are the same thing. I think that God completely ignores whether it's coming from us or coming to us. So if you feel like not enough is coming to you, then start pushing it through you, pushing something through you, and then it'll start to cycle and you'll start to be able to see the evidence of what you're doing. Bill beautifully described today that there is love all around us, and sometimes it looks like turning a faucet, and sometimes it looks like flipping a switch, and some loving hands created all of that stuff that is for us, okay? There's also the idea that some of us do is that so many people, and I don't know whether it was always this case, but it seems to be really prevalent right now with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the media and in the world and in social media. And, you know, to get my mind off of God, which I need to do, actually, from time to time, I've been listening to these stories about pop culture and, like, the way the paparazzi treats celebrities and how everybody is so eager to jump on what's wrong with people. It's just amazing to me. I see it through that lens. I'm not sure that everybody does, but it seems that like we're the same way. We are a mini paparazzi. There's a little mini paparazzi in our heads that is so eager to take pictures of us and memorize them doing bad stuff or stuff that it seems against the what we really want in our lives, are things that we would call our flaws and our imperfections, and that then we print news articles about it in our minds, and we run this story about how imperfect we are and how flawed we are and how unworthy we are, right? And so what does it take to step into the belief, the proof that we are worthy? To find the proof that we are worthy, we prove that we are worthy. We say yes to our worthiness. We let go of the inner paparazzi, we release it, that's just resistance to worthiness, and we start acting as if we are that person who is worthy. That person who is worthy of love, that person who is worthy of rest, that purpose who is worthy of abundance. We step into worthiness while it is still unworthiness. And you know that all of these things, all of these opposites, worthiness, unworthiness, imperfection and perfection, impossible, impossible, sufficiency and insufficiency. You know, if we really look at the words, like take the word imperfection. You know, if we just put a little space between im and perfection, it's much more like I'm perfection. Same thing with impossible. If we just put a little space between im and possible, it's I'm possible. And insufficiency is even better. Oh my gosh, insufficiency. Just put a little space between in and sufficiency, and it's like insufficiency. I am insufficiency right now, and that is a spiritual truth. We are abiding insufficiency in pause, sufficiency as sufficiency. I think there's power in that pause, don't you? It changes the way we look at words, and it can also change the way that we look at ourselves. So we take a pause. We take a pause. And what we do in that pause is very important. Very important. First of all, we drop it. Remember a while back? That was a theme here, because when I'm hiking with my dog, he picks up stuff, and I say, drop it! Drop it! And how easy it is in a kind manner, because my dog knows that I'm not mad at him. Just say, drop it. Just drop it. Just drop it. You can pick it up again later if you want. But if you're telling yourself a story about how unloving things are, how unloving you are, how unworthy you are, how unpeaceful the world is, how you don't deserve to rest, all of those things, just drop it. Drop it. Nothing will happen. Nothing will change. You may really miss the worrying, but you'll be okay. You know, the mystics say that worry is praying for what you do not wish to have happen. Again. Oh, wait. Just drop the worry. And in that pause, what if we pick up a new vision of reality? A new vision of reality that is closer to the truth. We can't really absolutely know the truth because the truth is truly beyond the knowing of our small minds, but we can start to touch the hem of the garment and pull on it and start pulling the threads of our story as we start to enrobe ourselves in that beautiful, beautiful garment of absolute truth. And absolute truth is where it's at, people. That's the message of this center that I am currently, and I hope others are currently really getting engrossed in, is that a knowing of the truth about reality and the truth about our place in it is the answer to everything. It is the answer to everything. It is becoming that which is aware yet unaffected. It is becoming that still point in the ocean where all this turbulence can be happening on the surface, but yet still there is a still point in the ocean, and we are that still point. It is the understanding that the spirit, the kingdom of heaven, that spirit is like water and ice, and that we become form, yes, but we cannot extract the water from ice. We cannot extract the spirit from our form, that we are pure spirit always, no matter what. No matter what is happening on the surface, no matter what story we're telling ourselves, there is a place within us that remembers. There is a place within us that knows the truth of who we really are. And I want to celebrate that place with you. I want us to say yes to it. I'm getting all worked up, people. I hope you are too. I want all of us to know that we are that place. And can you imagine what we can do in our lives and how we can heal the world and bless all beings with our deep and powerful knowing that we are the life of spirit here to express on earth in mystical, wonderful, magical, beautiful ways beyond our imagination. Right? Okay. So, you know, last week, I think a lot of us have gotten a little messed up with duality, a little thinking that we're dualistic. And again, duality is not the enemy of non-duality. It is not even the opposite of non-duality, because non-duality has no opposites. Non-duality embraces everything, including the appearance of duality. But I think, again, I'm going back to something I said last week. Last week, I feel like I babbled on and on about the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the fall from grace. I neglected to mention that I believe, as others do in my category of spiritual teacher, that it is a metaphor, right? So let's just clear that up right now. You can believe it literally if you like. I find it to be a more powerful story if it's a metaphor. And the point of speaking about it last week was understanding that you know, a lot of people have been punished for what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? They think that they're bad because Eve and Adam ate from the fruit of the tree. I can't even say it. Knowledge of good and evil. They think that they're bad because of that. Somebody like me, I'm bad because, what does the Bible say it was? How many years ago? Literally, in a literal translation, thousands of years ago, two people ate and got cast out of the kingdom. Makes a lot of sense. Sorry. I really try not to like diss other religions here, but sometimes I can't help myself. Don't tell anybody, okay? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Okay. Okay. So really what the more mystical teachings say is that is part of the plan, people, that we needed something to create this appearance of positive and negative so that we would have something to do. Have you ever seen a play on stage where nothing happens? Oh my gosh, if you haven't, go see Waiting for Godot. You're like, oh my gosh, when will this be over? I literally fell asleep at the Rubicon watching Waiting for Godot, and I hope I did not snore. And it's probably a brilliant play, but I just couldn't find it. Could not find the brilliance. So something needs to happen. Something needs to happen. You know how I was talking about the reality show, Say Yes to the Dress? Earth is God's reality show. Earth is our reality show. We are living the reality show, folks, and something needs to happen. Something needs to happen for us to do so that when we transcend that which happens, when we transcend that gives us the appearance that we are separate from God, then we're like, oh my God, that felt so good. It's like running a race or creating something beautiful or having a child. We give birth to ourselves. We give birth to ourselves. We give birth to the beauty and the worthiness and the love and the precious nature of our own being. I looked up what Brother Ernest Holmes, the founder of this religion, said. I'm supposed to say that in every service, by the way. They teach you that in ministerial school. You're supposed to have an Ernest Holmes quote, and you're supposed to say, Ernest Holmes, the founder of this religion. Got that? And there he is right next to my dog, Saraswati. Just in case you wondered who that was. He's Ernest Holmes, the founder of this religion. Okay? Now, don't confuse him with the dog, okay? She's an important part of this religion, I'm sure, in her own mind. But it's really Ernest Holmes, the founder of this religion, okay? All right. So Ernest Holmes wrote about the Garden of Eden. When we eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we are cast into a belief in two powers. When we view the life principle from a material basis, which beguiles us like a serpent, we say evil is as real as good, the devil is as powerful as God, and the universe is dual in nature. The part of us that can be fooled ingests the fruit of dual experience. Amen. And reveals its own nakedness. We are expelled from the garden to the extent that we believe in duality. You got that? Ernest Holmes was quite an elocution person, so I tried to do it like Ernest Holmes without spitting as much as he probably did because he didn't have COVID to cope with. But anyway, to simplify that, for all of us, and for me in particular, is that the illusion of opposites exists, okay? There is this appearance of opposites that's happening all the time, good and evil, peace and war, self-doubt and self-confidence, worthiness and unworthiness. There's this appearance going on all the time, and really it's more like on a continuum. Things like evil and unworthiness or failure may exist. It's not appropriate to go up to somebody that has just had a loved one die and say, you know, there is no death, right? We acknowledge that the pain happens and that we're both human and divine and that there is a human pain to loss and that there is a human tragedy and evil. But in a spiritual sense, everything is conspiring for good. And how that helps us is that it allows us to step back in that pause, right, between I'm and possible, between sufficient and in, we step in sufficiency. We step into that pause and we do our best to inspire, to say yes to the conspiracy for good. We breathe it in, we love it, and we live it. And we ask ourselves, how much will we empower the appearance of the opposite of good? How much will we empower the paparazzi in our head? How much will we empower the stories that we tell ourselves? How much will we power unworthiness versus worthiness? Will we empower all of these things by rehearsing them constantly and not even seeing through our rehearsal that there is an alternative way of looking at life? That there is an eternal and alternative way of being in life where we recognize and we remember that we are the one. That we all are the one. And that the one is whole and perfect, meaning inclusive of everything. And that the one is complete, even when it seems incomplete. And that the one... Yes, there is uncertainty in the one, but the one itself does not know uncertainty. The one is that perfection that lies stretched in smiling repose, accepting and embracing everything. And we have that capacity within us. We just get to surrender to it and use it. And we use it as we allow it to use us. So how do we embody, how do we allow this power and this presence of all good to use us, to fill us, to allow us to be, to say yes to the consciousness of the divine? Well, there's a couple of things. You know, I think moving out of the perception of non-duality is really helpful. That's why I keep talking about it. Moving out of the perception of duality, rather. Moving out of the perception that of giving our power to something that is empowered only through our willingness to give our power away. So what I suggest is that we look at what's going on in our lives. If anybody's struggling with something, whether it's the pandemic or whether it's a personal situation or life or health or anything, a feeling of unworthiness, a feeling of a lack of love, look at what your word of error might be, okay? A word of error is something that we teach in this teaching, that there are many words of error, words of that amplify the negative pole of a misperception of dualism. So it could be things like lack or rejection or unworthiness or hatred or self-doubt. Big one is fear. Most of those things stem from fear and ignorance of our true nature. Just look at your word of error, whatever that might be. You can do it now. You don't have to shout it out. Just see what your word of error might be. Where are you getting caught in some type of dualistic perception? And just look at your word of error. And then think about Jessica's song. Jessica's song where she's saying, impossible is nothing. What if we were to say, worry is nothing, complaining is nothing, unworthiness is nothing, unlovability is nothing, fear is nothing, doubt is nothing. What if we were just to embody that in heart and mind and consciousness? That is saying yes to the consciousness of all good. And then, because we are in a body, we are water that has become ice, we have to embody it. We have to live it. We have to allow the word, the template, the logos, to become flesh, to be formed into matter and dwell among us. We have to allow ourselves to live like the truth of our new perception is true. So if we are saying yes to worthiness, if you are saying yes to worthiness, if you are saying yes to love, if you are saying yes to greater creativity, if you are saying yes to greater joy, if you are saying yes to greater peace, we're praying the opposite of the problem here, and then we have to do something about it. We have to put it into form. We have to live like the truth is true. And what that means, you don't have to do much. You just have to do what you do consistently. And that is one small step that physically affirms your new belief every day. And at some point, that will become contagious. I hate to use that word right now, but that will become contagious in a good way. You will infect your consciousness with the desire to be who you really are. And that's when life gets really good, because as you become contagiously good, as you become contagiously confident, as you become contagiously joyous and loving and peaceful and kind, again, because there is only one of us, as we do unto ourselves, we do unto others. Your goodness will ripple out and bless the entire world. You may not get to see the effects. We may not get to see the effects. But that we can trust that it is so. It is the nature of reality and our place in it. So say yes. Say yes to the consciousness of that which you want. And let's do it now. Let's pray.